Well, greetings, brethren, and it's nice to be with you this afternoon. Had a little technical difficulty with our electronics. Got a new computer, which was a good thing, I think. But it won't work on my printer. Couldn't get that to hook up. So I was going to put it on a flash drive and have it printed out, but that didn't work either. So here we are. Well, welcome to our guests. And as Stephen mentioned, those watching by Cybercast, we were able to enjoy a nice family weekend as well. We were able to see some old friends, enjoy fellowship with a number of folks. We were able to take in some of the games and cheer on our local teams. I think one was faithfully serving and the other one was the SWAT team. I asked Kevin where they came up with the name of that one. He goes, because we'll SWAT at anything. So but anyway, it was nice to spend some time down there and with the folks. Brethren, as we get ready to close out another year according to man's calendar, many will be partying and counting down to the close of this year, beginning this evening, bringing in hopes of a better year is what they're hoping for ahead. Many will make resolutions to do things to do better in the coming year, or to make a goal of one thing or another, and all too often, these resolutions that they make fade to the wayside very quickly. It doesn't take long for them to go by. Brethren, each of us has problems that we're dealing with in our own lives. We wrestle with as well. Sometimes we find ourselves fighting against what God is trying to accomplish in our own lives. We have to choose to fight for what God is working out for us each in our lives. We have to stay focused, and we have to find the strength to move forward. We must hang on and not stop until we receive the blessing that God has for each and every one of us. But you know what? We really have to want it. Sometimes we have to show God that, hey, this is what we really, really want above all things else. We have an example in the Bible of someone who was facing dire straits in their life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32. We'll pick up the story of Jacob. And God had instructed him to return back to his homeland so that he could bless him. But there was a problem. This meant he would have to face his elder brother, Esau, who, if you remember, tricked out of his birthright. So Jacob had sent everyone away. He was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now this was no ordinary man, as we will see. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He already knew who his name was, but he asked Jacob what his name was, and he said, "Jacob." And he said to him, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Now, what Jacob didn't realize at that particular moment in time was exactly what Christ was telling him. Because he knew that the next day he was going to be facing his brother Esau. And he was quite afraid for his life. But so Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray, your name." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And then he blessed him. So as we see in this situation, Jacob was very troubled, like I mentioned earlier, because God had told him to return to his own land. But what he feared most was that Esau was out to kill him. That's why he separated himself from everyone else And that's when this account occurs. You know, this was not a situation of two individuals just wrestling for the fun of it. I remember when I was in school, especially grade school, every recess, every lunchtime, we were out on the playground, except when bad weather, and sometimes even in bad weather, wrestling with one another. Just like seeing us boys could not get enough of it. We just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. But let's go to our commentary and read the commentary account of this. I'm going to use the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary. And it talks about the situation that we just read about. It said, the moral design of it was to revive the shrinking spirit of the patriarch and to arm him with confidence in God, while anticipating the dreaded scenes of the morrow. To this, it is highly instructive, showing that to encourage us valiantly to meet the trials to which we are subjected, God allows us to ascribe to the efficiency of our faith and prayers and the victories which His grace alone enables us to make. It says, I will not let you go. This is what Jacob said. It is evident that Jacob was aware of the character of him with whom he wrestled, believing that his power, though far superior to human, was yet limited by his promise to do him good. He determined not to lose the golden opportunity of securing a blessing. And nothing gives God greater pleasure than to see the hearts of his people firmly adhering to him. So the point of the story was, God wanted to see Jacob's heart. Was he really committed to what he was asking? And he was. But what God also told him was, or what Jesus Christ also told him, was that not to fear what was going to happen tomorrow. He reassured him that everything was going to be okay. God has a purpose he's working out. And even after he injured Jacob's hip, Jacob still hung on to fight for Christ's blessing. It's the same for us in our lives. Sometimes God wants to know how much we really want the promises and the blessings that He has in store for us. Let's look at another account in Genesis, chapter 22. And we'll read verses 9 through 12. This was Jacob's grandfather, and this was the scene with his son Isaac, when God told him to offer him up as a sacrifice. God had to know what Abraham would do. So we'll pick up the story in verse 9. We'll just read verses 9 through 12. Then they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor to do anything for him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. See, God had to know what Abraham would do, what he asked him to do. See, Abraham trusted God completely. He knew God would work it out somehow, and that his promise that was given to him through his son would be fulfilled. We have to have that same confidence in God, that God will fulfill in our lives, in each of our lives, the promises that he has given us. The next area we want to focus on is we must overcome the powers of this world through Christ. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So what God is pointing out here is that, look, there is a spirit world here. And there's a world that you're going to have to overcome. But you're not by yourself. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Here Peter points out, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, Satan and the demons, they're working overtime to get us off track. They want us to believe that there's this great battle going on between God the Father and Jesus Christ and them. Brethren, they already tried this and they failed. They will try again, but guess what? They're going to fail again. They're trying to discourage us, distract us, do anything they can to keep our focus off the plan that God is working out for His people. But it may sound like that there's no way we can deal with this, but let's go to Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13 makes a simple statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where our strength, our help, our hope comes from. Our strength comes through Christ. We don't need to be afraid of their plan to keep us from qualifying for God's soon coming kingdom. But we do have to use the tools that God has given us to use on a daily basis. You know, the four basic tools that we've heard so much about over the years: prayer, Bible study, fasting on a regular basis, and meditating on the wonderful blessings of God's plan and what He's making available to us as His people. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Tells us exactly what we need to do. James 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, by drawing close to God and resisting the devil causes him to flee from us. But what does the word resistance mean? Well, in electrical terms, a resistor is a component that opposes the passage of electrical current. So we have to oppose the broadcast that Satan is sending out to each of us to try to discourage us. So when James says resist the devil, it means to withstand, to strive against or oppose in some manner. Resistance can be a defensive maneuver or withstanding the temptation to sin. Or it can be an action that we take that's an offensive weapon. But, you see, we're not called Christian soldiers for nothing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read verses 13 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is with you, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in spirit, being watchful to this end, that all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So you see, God has given us the tools that we need, and He's not left us without protection. Like I mentioned earlier, we are Christian soldiers, and He gives us everything we need to be successful. Using the Word of God exposes Satan's lies, temptations, and is the most effective way to stand against them and defeat them. But as James mentioned, resisting the devil must first be accomplished by, what do we read first? Submitting to God. A disobedient or unsubmissive individual won't see this victory. We have to be willing to allow God to lead our lives. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Here Christ said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." See, by following God and doing what He tells us to do, we can have life in a far more abundant fashion than we could without. Christ came so that we could have that life, and not only have it, but have it in more abundant style. By submitting to our Father, we have hope for the future, a future that will bring true lasting peace and healing for us and the whole earth. It is God who has the power over Satan, and it is through His strength, not ours, that overcoming him is made possible. We do have to choose to submit to Him. God is so powerful that just using His name can cause Satan to flee. You don't have to turn there, but that's in Jude 9. Here it shows us that Michael the archangel simply said, "The Lord rebuke you," and Satan had to leave. Don't we serve an awesome God that just asking in His name causes Satan to flee? Brethren, next area we want to look at is, we're in a spiritual race. Paul likens our journey to a race. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll start reading verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." See, that's the beauty with God's plan. There's not one prize. There's a prize for everybody. But we have to strive and work to get there so that we do qualify for that prize. "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, though I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest that I have preached to others, I myself may become disqualified." So running a race requires preparation. It requires training. But you know what? We have the ultimate trainer, God the Father. If we submit to Him and ask Him to lead our lives, He'll give us the strength to run that race. He's there to encourage us every step of the way. Running a race also requires endurance. That's why Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 13, if you'll turn there. Matthew 24 and verse 13. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." So when you start the race, you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep moving. Let's look at this again in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Here Christ tells us, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." It's a guarantee, brother. If we stick to it, we keep fighting, we keep moving forward, Christ is right there with us, encouraging us every step of the way. It's also, as a reference scripture, it's also repeated in Mark 13:13. In any race, it's not how many begin the race, but he who endures and finishes and completes the entire race that's important. Let's look at another example of our elder brother. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, we also, since we have surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls." So what Christ is pointing out here, or what is being pointed out here about Christ, is that guess what? Christ went through all this. He went through far worse than we'll ever have to endure. And he sat down at the right hand of God. And that's the promise that each of us has. Maybe not on the right hand, but we'll be there with him in his kingdom. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. "For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So we cannot turn our backs. We cannot let go. The need for endurance in our Christian life is crucial. We must fight the good fight. Christ encouraged us in the church in Philadelphia area to hold fast until the end. Let's look at that in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 10 through 13. "Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. And I will write on him a new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So, brethren, we must endure. We must keep moving forward in our race. We can't stop, but continue to grow. Let's look at that in 2 Peter verses 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. "But grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So God wants us to grow. Let's look at another example of this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being faithful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So as we grow, Paul encourages us to increase. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So, you know what? Paul's encouraging us here to stick with it, to not give up. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's encouraging us to press onward to achieve our goal. Now, does that mean that we ever stumble? No, that's not what it means at all. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. So as a righteous person, we can make mistakes. All the leaders throughout the Bible history, you start with Moses, David, all of them made mistakes, made big mistakes. But you know what? They stuck close to the trunk of the tree. When it was pointed out to them, God helped them through it and helped them get right back on their feet and helped them to keep moving forward. Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. If we make God our delight, He will give us the things that we desire. The more we turn our thoughts and actions to Him, the more it allows Him to bless us in our daily lives. So as we have seen, we must really, really want what God has to offer. We must overcome ourselves and our own human nature and the powers of this world through the power of God, because it's by His strength that we can do this. We must run the race that is set before us. We must endure to the end. We must hold fast. God also tells us we must keep moving forward. Brethren, the rest of the world may be focused on the end of one year and looking to the beginning of another, but we, brethren, we've been given some opportunity that's just beyond mind-blowing to look beyond this present world to the wonderful world tomorrow.